Proverbs chapter number 4 this evening. Well, to start the year, we talked about walking on water. We talked about the call of Jesus to Peter to come to him on the water, to step out of the boat. And we're continuing with our theme of stepping out of the boat in response to God's call. And if you remember, there are different ways that God calls to us to take a step out of our comfort zone. First of all, there are calls to obedience. We can be 100% sure that God is calling us to step out in obedience to any command or principle of the Scripture that we may know. So if the Lord wills us to do something, then we know that we can step out by faith and do it, that He'll help us to do it, whether that would be maybe confessing and forsaking sin, resolving issues with other people, sharing our faith, tithing, putting off the deeds of the old man, walking in the Spirit, whatever the command, whatever the principle of the Word of God is. If God lays it out for us in His Word, then we know He's calling us to obey. Then we also talked about calls to growth. Calls to growth. God calls us to take steps forward in spiritual growth, in the Word, in prayer, in witnessing, in giving, and using our spiritual gifts, being faithful to the life of the local church. There are many different ways that God would call us to grow in grace, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then there are calls to take risks for God, risk-taking service. God's calling us maybe to take on a new role, a new ministry, to go to some new place, to get up and stand in front of people, or sing our first solo, or preach, or go to the mission field, perhaps, like Barnabas and Saul, where God called them to separate themselves for the work that God had for them. And the record of the Scripture is that they were men who hazarded their lives. They put their lives on the line for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I've preached on all those calls so far this year. But there's one more way that God calls to us. He calls us to walk in the path of His personal will for each of us as believers. These are the times when we hear the still small voice of the Lord illuminating the Word to our understanding, showing us what He wants us to do. It's a following a process of spending time in God's Word, spending time in prayer, seeking godly counsel, then stepping ahead when God opens up the door. There's no way that I can cover that topic in a single message. So I'm going to preach a series from Proverbs about this topic. I actually gave this series about 6 years ago, exactly 6 years ago. Ordinarily, I would not repeat a series so soon, but I think we need it. I think we need it for a couple reasons. First of all, because many of you here didn't hear it when I preached it 6 years ago. We have many newer believers in the church who haven't heard this before. But also, I get many questions on these issues about how do I know God's will for my life? How can I walk in the path of His will? And so this is going to be a very practical series where I'm going to seek to give you some very practical principles all along the way of how we can know and walk in the perfect will of God for our lives. And you know what? I would say, I'm sure that if I asked how many believers here you want to know and you want to walk in God's will for your life, I'm sure every hand in this room would go up, yes, that's what I want to do. That should be your desire as a believer. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if He's your Lord and Savior, you should want to follow Him. You should want to walk in the path that He has for you. And so we're going to learn how to do that in this series. And the key verse is Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 18. Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse 18. This is a key verse for the whole series. It says, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." That's one of my favorite verses in the whole book of Proverbs. So I think I've mentioned this before, but I read Proverbs regularly, and this is always one of my favorites to come to. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. That is a beautiful description of walking in the truth of God and proving what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God for our lives. The good news, folks, is that God has a path in mind for each one of us as His children. He has a path in mind for the just. The just there referring to righteous people, born again believers in Jesus Christ, and it is a good path. And it leads to a perfect destination. In fact, I talked about the destination this morning as we were studying what the blood of Jesus Christ has made available to us. We have a better promise of a heavenly inheritance. God has promised us a wonderful future. But there is also another option. So if you will look into your Bible at Proverbs chapter 4, you see verse 18, our theme verse. But now look at verse number 19. Because verse number 19 presents a stark contrast. It says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. There is another option in life to the path of the just. It's called the way of the wicked. It's a bad path. It's a horrible path. It's a destructive path. And so I want us to take a closer look tonight as I introduce this series to these two options. Because really the truth is, these are the only two options of life. My friend, you're either walking on one of these paths. One of these or the other. You're either on the path of just or you're on the way of the wicked. Each one of us is going to walk on one of these two roads in life. So two paths in life. Here they are. It's either the way of the wicked, verse number 19, or the path of the just, verse number 18. All right, so let's consider first of all the way of the wicked. What is that like? The way of the wicked. Well, verse number 19 says, the way of the wicked is as what? Darkness. So the first truth that we get from this verse about the way of the wicked is that it's dark. As darkness there is referring to a deep darkness, a gloominess. Why is it dark? For several reasons. First of all, it's dark with sin. It's dark with sin. It says the way of the wicked. So it is a wicked path. It is a walk or a lifestyle of wickedness. And so it is dark with sin. Secondly, it's dark with evil companions because it is the way of the wicked. The wicked is talking about the wicked people, the wicked ones. So this is the path that wicked people travel. This is the path, the place, where you will find wicked people. You will have wicked companions on this road who will entice you to join along with them and go along in their evil companionship along that wicked way. So it is dark with sin, and it's dark with evil companions who will encourage you to sin. But third, it is also dark with deception. It's dark with deception. How do we know that? Because in the Bible, darkness is typically used as a symbol of lies. It's the opposite of truth, the light of truth. Okay, so truth is often, it typically symbolized as light. Deception is darkness. And so this is a place of lies. This is a place of deception. This road is a place that is dark with the deceptions of the devil. He works actively to blind people's eyes who are traveling down this road. He does not want them to know the truth. He does not want them to see the truth. He does not want them to come to the light of God in Jesus Christ. And so it is a dark path. It's dark with sin and wicked behavior and all kinds of evil deeds. It is a place that is dark with wicked people where sinners run to sin and encourage others to come to sin with them. It is a place of deception. Dark with lies, and then it's also dark with ignorance. Because again, look at the verse. It says they know not at what they stumble. So the people that are walking down this way, they don't know what's going on. They don't recognize the dangers. They don't even realize they're in the dark. They are lost in the blindness of ignorance and deception. That's a very sad description. Most of the people in this world are on this way. Have you ever given some consideration to the truth that most of the people in this world are walking down this way of the wicked, this place of darkness. Not only is the way of the wicked a dark place, but it's also a dysfunctional way, a dysfunctional road. Why is it dysfunctional? How can we tell that? Because the whole idea of having a road is to provide guidance, right? The idea, the purpose of having a road is to take you from point A to point B to get you somewhere. But these people are lost. The Bible says they're groping around the dark. They have no idea where they are, and they have no idea where they are going. It's also not a smooth and well-maintained road. Evidently, it's a road that is full of traps and pits. You know, this time of year around here, some of the roads around here, I mean, you drive your car down, you're about to, you know, you could practically break your suspension or, you know, bend a rim or blow your tire out on some of the potholes in the roads and things, but this is far worse than that. Because when people fall into the pits on this road, they don't come back out again. And there are so many people living this way in this present world. They think they know what they're doing. They think they have all figured out. They think they know what they want in life. They think they know what's going on, but they have no idea who they are, why they are there, where they're going, what they're doing. And the evidence is dysfunction in their lives. Dysfunction in their relationships, dysfunction in their families, dysfunction in their marriages. Let me just say that if that word dysfunction could be appropriately applied to any of those things for you, your life, your relationships, your family, your marriage, and so on, that's evidence that somehow you are not on the right path. It's a place of dysfunction. Third, it's also a dangerous way. It's a dangerous way because the Bible says this is a place, not a place of safety. This is a place to trip and fall and hurt yourself. It says that they stumble on this road. And finally, it's a disastrous way because the wicked stumble in the end. You know what that's talking about ultimately? That's talking about the fate of the lost in eternal hell. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16 says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." Okay, so a righteous person, a believer, do we ever trip and stub our nose on the ground? Absolutely. You know, we're going to fall, but we get back up. How do we get back up? It's the grace of God, okay? Because God upholds us with His hand. But the wicked fall into mischief and they don't get back up. That's talking about eternal punishment in hell. And folks, this is the path of the ungodly. This is the path of people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is the path of people in this world who are self-deceived about their spiritual condition. And tragically, there are lots of people in this world who are on a dark road. They're headed to certain destruction. The Lord Jesus said, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat." It is a terrible thing to be lost in the dark. You ever been lost in the dark? I remember when I was in junior high, our pastor took us on a spelunking expedition, and so we went to some hole in the side of a mountain somewhere in Alabama, where we lived at the time, and there was this cool cave inside there, and so we went back in there, and there was all kinds of neat stuff in there. But there was a certain point we worked our way back, pretty far back into this cave, and then he said, "Okay, now what we're going to do is everybody's going to turn off their lights, okay? So everybody turn off your flashlight, you know, put out your candle, whatever you got." And so we all turned off our lights and we were in the pitch dark. True pitch dark, where you could put your hand in front of your face, you could not see it, you could not see anything no matter how hard you tried. Now imagine being that far back in a cave in the pitch dark and having no light source with which to see your way out. You know what? That'd be an emergency. That would be a tragedy. You would never find this cave. I mean, I can't tell you all the stuff we did to get back in there, but boy, there was places we crawled on our bellies, and there were places that we did this chimney walk, you know, and there were places that we, you know, clambered over things and walked around things, and there were stalactites and stalagmites in this cave and all kinds of stuff. There's no way you could have ever gotten out of there without some light. I used to work in a dark room. Right after Tamara and I were married, I had a job for a while in a commercial photo lab, and my job was to run a couple of big photo processing machines. And so these were big machines that processed large amounts of film at one time. And the dark room was built around the whole thing. So you walked in, and there was the whole room that the machine was in was a dark room, and you know, when I was being trained how to work in there, you really had to learn where everything was by feel. And you really needed to know what was going on, because these machines had big moving, I mean, they had moving parts to them and such. And so you could get hurt in there if you didn't know what was going on. And this is the description that we have here of the fate of the wicked, ungodly people in this world. Folks, these descriptions should renew our burden for the condition of the lost. There are people in this community, they are groping about in the darkness, they are hurting, they are hopeless. That's one reason, for example, this Saturday we want to go out and knock on some doors and talk to some people about the Lord, because there are people in this community that we need to reach, and we need to give them the message of the light of the gospel. Really, there should be more people signed up for Saturday canvassing than nobody on the list, okay? Because this is the condition that people right here in Ottawa, Kansas are living in today. Is this true? That's what God says. Unbelievers are in a bad place. Let me just say, if you're here tonight, and I look around the room, I think everybody here would profess to be a Christian, but if you're here tonight and you feel like you're groping about in the dark, let me just assure you, that is not where God wants you to live. And certainly if you're a born-again believer and you feel like you're groping about in the dark, that is not the way God wants you to live. He has a different life, a different path, a different way for you. So let's consider the contrast now. Let's talk about the path of the just. The path of the just, first of all, is shining. Look again at verse 18. The path of the just is as the shining light. The shining light is talking about a light source of blazing brightness like the sun. So this is an illuminated path. But it's also getting brighter all the time. So the picture that we have here is like of the first light of sunrise. You know, when the sun just peaks over the horizon, and it begins to illuminate the world around you, and then it just goes brighter and it gets brighter until you reach the full light of the noonday sun. What does this shining light represent? First of all, it represents the light of God's truth in His Word, because His Word is our revelation to illuminate our understanding. The Word is where we learn the will of God so that we can walk in it. So, first of all, it is shining with God's truth in His Word. My friend, God intends you as a born-again child of God to walk in the light of His Word. You are not living in the darkness of error and deception and ignorance in this world. God has given you the truth. It's right here in this book. All the answers of life that you need, they're right here in this book. God has not left us in the dark. Praise the Lord for that. He's given us a shining light. So first of all, it's shining with the light of God's truth in His Word. Secondly, it's shining with the light of God's specific guidance in the life of a believer. Because when you get saved and you start walking on the path of the just, you know, not all is clear to you at first. We learn God's will better as we walk in it. So as we start to grow, as we start to take steps of following the Lord. The light of His will gets brighter and brighter. The farther you walk in that lighted path, the brighter it grows. You know what? You may not be able to see all the way to the end at the beginning. And wouldn't we like to be able to do that, you know? I mean, now I'm on the path of the just, and so I wonder what's down that road for me 10 years down that road, or 20 years down that road, or 30 years down that road. And boy, I'd sure like God to shine the light on that, but He hasn't necessarily shined the light on that part of the road yet for us. But He gives us enough light to take the next step. And then as we take that step, He then begins to shine the light brighter, and the more steps we take, the brighter the light gets. Each step you take will make that direction and that destination clearer. I've shared before, you know, I had no idea when I was a teenager that God wanted me to be a pastor. That was the last thing I wanted to do. I had a couple of opportunities, you know, to get up and speak. Oh, I did not want to do that. That took me way out of my comfort zone. I was very introverted as a teenager. I would just rather sit there and listen to other people talk than me do the talking. And so that idea, I mean, I at a certain point, God called me to full-time service, but, you know, I had no idea that I was to be a pastor. I pretty much had just, no, that's not going to be a possibility for me. I'm just not that kind of person. But as I took a step at a time in God's will, God led me to some different conclusions. He began to show me a brighter light of understanding. That my teenage understanding of what I really wanted in life and my adult understanding of what I want in life are two different things. And God knows that. God knows you better than you know yourself. You may think you know what you want in life. God knows what you really want in life. And the only way for you to know what you really want in life is to walk in this path. So God can begin to illuminate to your understanding what you really desire. So it is bright and shining with the light of God's guidance, and then it's also shining with the light of God's glory. And there's a couple of sub-points here as well. It's shining with the light of God's glory in His personal presence. Because He is our light, and as we walk on this path of the just, we enjoy sweet fellowship with our Heavenly Father. You know, there were several people in the Bible that of whom it was said that they walked with God. For example, Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. I did a whole series on this one time years ago. I don't expect you to remember that. Abraham walked with God. And so, boy, those people were really specially privileged, weren't they? I mean, they got to walk with God. No, we get to do that too. Did you know that? Did you know that as you walk on this path of God's will for your life, God's walking there with you? It's a place of fellowship with Him. It's a place of His personal presence. Psalm 36 and verse 9 says, "For with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light." As you walk close to God, you will find Him to be all the light, all the life that you need. All the fountain of every good thing comes from Him. You will find that to be the place of the greatest satisfaction you could possibly imagine. You will find that to be the place of joy. You will find that to be the place of protection. You will find that to be the place of provision. You will find that to be life itself as you draw near to your God and walk on the path of His will. You'll find His personal presence there, and that's light because God is glorious. Not only that, there's also another aspect of this idea of shining with the light of God's glory, because where does this path lead? It leads to the glory of His perfect day in heaven. That's the end of the journey. It ends in the full glory of God. I preached that to you this morning about the fact that we will stand in that place that the Lord Jesus, our great high priest, He has entered into God's presence ahead of us. He has opened the way for us. And one day we will see His face. We will stand there in our flesh. We will see God. So this is a path of the just that shines more and more unto what? The perfect day. And ultimately that will be realized for you when you stand in the perfect day of heaven. You know what the perfect day of heaven is? There's no sunset there. Okay? Because there is no shade or shadow of turning with the glorious light of God. His light shines all the time. So there's no sunrise or sunset. There are no clouds that go over the sun of the light of God's glory. It will be awesome and glorious beyond our understanding, and it lasts forever. The perfect day is an eternal day. An eternal day. A day that never ends. Oh, you might be there for 10,000 years. Guess what? It's still the perfect day of God. Without end. So it's a shining path. But then let's also consider, secondly, that it is because it's a shining path, it's also a straight path. This is a path of walking in God's will. That's a path of walking in righteousness. It's a path of walking in obedience to His Word. It's a path of doing right. Not only that, but it's a safe path because it's well lit. You don't want your house to be a little more safe at night. What are you going to do? You're going to put up some security lights, right? Turn on a little bit more light. Get a little bit more light on the subject so it can be a little bit safer around there at night. And this path is well lit, and therefore it is a place of safety. It's a place of protection where you can see the dangers and you can stay away from the dangers because the light of God's Word is going to illuminate those dangers to you. It's also a successful path. Because it takes you to the right place. You know, ultimately, you judge a road by where it takes you, right? I mean, it may be a hard road, but if it takes you to the place you really want to be, then that's okay. On the other hand, it doesn't matter how easy the trip is if you're headed in the wrong direction. I mean, you can get on the interstate and you can head west instead of east and you can have a really nice time and find all kinds of rest stops and all kinds of, you know, travel centers and places to see the sights along with. But if you're headed toward California when you thought you were going to North Carolina, that's a problem. You know, there was a rock musician a few years ago who wrote a song about how he was on a highway to hell. You know, there are people on that highway. And it may seem like an easy journey, but it doesn't end in a success. It's failure, it's falling, never again to rise. On the other hand, the path that you're walking on as a believer, don't get the misunderstanding here that because this is a path of light, and it's a place of safety. It's illuminated by the glorious light and presence of God and His Word and His will. That doesn't mean it's easy all the time. No, there's going to be hardship on that path. There's going to be some difficulties to overcome. The Apostle Paul told some new Christians, "We through much tribulation must enter into the kingdom of God." You're going to have to overcome some stuff. Don't let that dissuade you. Because it takes you to the right place. The glorious light of God. So that's the path of God's will. It's a shining, straight, safe, successful path. So how do we walk in it? How do we stay in this path? How do we take those steps forward? That's going to be our study over the next several weeks. Tonight I just want to introduce the basics from our key passage here in Proverbs 4. But I have two main points in this series, okay? You want to walk in the path of God's will, number one, very simple, walk away from the dark. And number two, walk in the light. Those are the two main points that I'm going to develop for you over the next several weeks. Walk away from the dark and walk in the light. You know, that means some choices. You have some choices to make, some decisions to make. Under the idea of walking away from the dark, we're going to talk about how that means we need to avoid the companionship of sinners. We need to refuse the enticements of sin, and we need to reject the foolishness of ignorant and self-sufficient thinking. Those are the things we need to do if we want to walk away from the dark. That'll be our outline for next time. We'll get into that. And then if you want to walk in the light, I have some points there as well. Walking in the light means, number one, heeding parental instruction if you're a kid. Number two, seeking wisdom in God's Word. Number three, walking close to God. Number four, maintaining personal integrity. And finally, following godly counsel. Let me just ask you this as an introductory question here this evening. Are you walking in the path of God's will tonight? Are you walking away from sin and sinners, and are you walking toward the light and truth of God? Are you inviting God to shine the light of His Word into your life in every possible way? As I said at the beginning here, everybody wants to know God's will. The good news is God's will is not complicated. But there are some important principles, and I want to introduce the first one to you tonight. We'll have many of these practical principles along the way. But here's our very first one. Principles of knowing God's will. Understanding God's specific will for your life begins with obeying His stated will for every believer. Okay, you say, I want to know what God wants for me. I want to prove what that is. Is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? The unique thing that God has for me in my life, I want to walk in the center of God's plan for my life. Then start out by making sure that you're doing the basic things that God wants every believer to do. Just like in school, okay? You go to school. You don't get to move on to the more advanced course until you have taken and passed the basic course, right? The beginner course. In the same way, you are not ready for God's detailed plan for your life until you are spiritually prepared to desire it and to fulfill it. So that means you're going to have to do some growing. That means you're going to have to implement what God wants you to do as a believer, what He wants every Christian to do. What are some of those things that He wants every Christian to do? He wants every Christian to read His Word. He wants every Christian to pray. He wants every Christian to be faithful in church. I mean, these are just some real basic things, right? He wants every Christian to be baptized. You know, if you want to know what God has for you way down that road and you haven't been baptized yet, you need to get baptized. That's like beginner step number one in the path of the just, okay? I mean, you're following Jesus, be baptized, and then He can start showing you other stuff, but you're not going to get to all that stuff down there until you first do the basic. That's the idea here. So are you doing the basics? Is there some basic step that God would have for every Christian and you're just not firing on all cylinders on that basic step? Then that's what you need to get taken care of next so that you can keep on going down that road that God has for your life. So just to review our basic outline for this series, this is where we're headed. How do you walk in the path of God's will? Walk away from the darkness. Don't go anywhere near verse number 19. Don't be enticed by the way of the wicked. Don't think that what worldly people are doing is cool or interesting or desirable or better than what God is offering you. Don't believe those deceptions for one millisecond. Don't allow the wicked to shape your thinking. Folks, the wicked don't know what's going on. The wicked don't know what they're doing. The wicked don't know where they're going. So why would you allow ungodly people to tell you how to think and you how to live? Don't be enticed by what they have to say. Don't be intrigued by how they live. Walk away from the path of the wicked. Walk away from the darkness. And walk in the light. Take this book. Get into this book. And allow God to shine the light of His Word into every crack and crevice and recess and of your life and your heart, so that you can prove and understand His will and walk in it. And the more time you spend in this book, and the more time you seek God in this book, the more you're going to hear the Spirit, His voice illuminating the Scripture to your understanding and helping you to know what God wants you to do. Walk away from the dark and walk in the light. Let's bow our heads, okay? We're going to close out the service in a moment by singing Stepping in the Light. Brady's going to lead us in that to close in just a moment. But as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I think I'm addressing primarily Christians here this evening. Possibly not. There might be an unbeliever here. There might be an unbeliever watching on YouTube. And so, my friend, let me just ask you, are you on the right road tonight? Do you know that you're headed to heaven? Or is it possible you're on the highway to hell? Now, if you're not sure tonight that you're saved, that's the first thing you need to do. You need to get off the way of the wicked. You need to allow the Lord Jesus to shine the light of His gospel to your understanding. Let Him show you tonight the Lord Jesus Christ, that He was crucified for you. He died on that old rugged cross so that you could be saved, so that you could have everlasting life, because God doesn't want you to go to hell. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish in eternal hell. That's what the word perish is talking about, but have everlasting life. My friend, when you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, at that moment you are taken off of the way of the wicked, and you are placed onto the path of the just, and you're on a new road, a new direction that ends in a new destination. Are you sure tonight that you're saved? Is there a person here tonight that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure tonight that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. God's speaking in my heart about the fact that I need to be born again and receive the Lord as my Savior. All around this room, I don't know, as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, is there somebody who would say that with an upraised hand? Pastor, that's my need tonight. Thank you, I see that hand. There's some others that say that with an upraised hand. That's me. I need to be saved. It is a tragic thing to be on the way of the wicked. It is dark, dysfunctional, dangerous, and destructive. But you don't have to stay on that road. God wants you to be saved. He wants you to know Him. If you'll just humble yourself to say, Lord Jesus, I am that guilty sinner that needs saving. And I'm believing that You died on that cross for me. And I'm asking You to wash away my sins and be my Savior and give me everlasting life. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll call out to Him, He'll save your soul. You can do that right now in the quietness of this moment. You might be viewing from home. You can do it there from home. Now for Christians, two questions. Number one, are you finding yourself intrigued by the way of the wicked? Envying the ungodly for their ungodly lifestyles and pleasures? Would you tonight as a believer say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for wanting to imitate the evil actions of evil people. That's wrong. I want Your will and Your way in my life more than anything else. Maybe tonight God has showed you, you know, you want to know God's will, there's some basic step you need to take, and you need to get that matter settled. Will you take the step? Will you initiate that in your life to make sure that you're moving ahead in the path of God's will? His stated will for every believer. We'll have a verse or two of invitation, and I'm going to invite people to come. If you want to come, if God's spoken in your heart, you're welcome to do that. You can do business with God right there in your seat if you want to do that. But I'm going to pray and then we'll have some invitation time. Father, I pray that you would just take your word tonight and cause the truths of Proverbs chapter 4, verses 18 and 19 to sink down deeply into our hearts. And we want to thank you so much that you have seen fit through the atoning work of our Lord Jesus Christ for us upon the cross to give us a new life, a new direction, and a new destination, none of which do we deserve. All of it is a gift of your grace, and we're so thankful for the light. We're thankful for that time for each one of us when you showed us our need of salvation and you showed us the Savior and you helped us to come to faith in Him. And I pray if there's a person here, this one that raised a hand or maybe some others that need to be saved, I pray that you'd work in their hearts and bring them very soon to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And for us as your children, help us, I pray, to desire the right things and to walk in the path of your truth. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.